The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
So this is Kingdom Business Financial Stewardship Part 2. I want you to go to Matthew 25. I use this as the foundation scripture last Sunday. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. So if it comes across a little passionate, it's because it's from that translation. Amen. Again, heaven's kingdom realm is like a wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants and assigned their financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, to the third, a bag of 1,000 gold coins. Now, let me just stop there for a moment. What we want to do is find out how much has been entrusted to every one of you. Now, somebody said, well, I was talking about money here, but these are talents or gifts. Even as we dedicated these babies here today, they all bring something to the table that the parents are going to find out over the next 20 years. Are you with me? I watched every one of our children, and you can see a distinct difference with each of them of what they bring. So as a pastor and watching the members of this church, in every person here, there are valuable gifts and talents that God has placed upon you that are to be used for the kingdom of heaven. And one day you will give an account before the Lord of what you did with that. So that's why this parable or this story is so important. So how much has been given to you? Somebody said, well, I think it's only very little. It doesn't matter. You take the little and you multiply it and watch what God's going to do. Can you say amen? So the one entrusted with 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded with money, and he doubled his investment. The same way the one entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins dug a hole in the ground and buried that master's money. And I see many Christians, wherever we go, that have buried their talent. There's people that have musical gifts, people that are artists, people that can write books, people, and they just sit there like a bump on a log and they do nothing. Well, why didn't you? Well, I went there, they didn't appreciate my gift. And listen, if I had to sit around waiting for what God's called me to do to be appreciated, I wouldn't be anywhere. I'd be run out of every town. I just knew that the earth is a big place and there are billions of people on the planet, and I just lay my hands on the earth on a map and just say, God, you're leading me to where I'm supposed to be. Yes. Are you with me? Yes. Someone said, well, I went over there, they rejected me. So who cares? They're not your people. Keep looking. Keep moving. Amen. You have to know when to hold them. You have to know when to fold them. You have to know when to walk away. You have to know when to run. You know what I mean? All right. Sorry for bringing that up here, but God has a place for every single person. Are you with me? So don't bury it. After much time had passed, the master returned to settle the accounts, which is the day is going to come when we're all going to stand before the Lord and have to give an account of what we did with our life. And then his point is blaming somebody else. Well, Lord, this preacher. Do you know how many preachers are trying to cut me out of places and done the meanest things to me? I even had a preacher come to my meeting this last week, and he's in his 70s, and he said to me, I'm very sorry. I want to apologize because I was rude to you. And I didn't remember anything. I said, look, all I remember about you is good things. I didn't even remember you being rude. You know, maybe I just, people have been rude to me all my life, so I just like, it goes like water off a duck's back. You know, I don't like take it personally. Because if you just run around waiting for everybody to say the right stuff, you're never going to do what God's called you to do. Hey, listen to this. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. Even if it stinks. So don't let that affect you. Are you with me? All right, so say this on me. I will not bury what I've been given by the Lord. So After much time, the master returned to set up accounts with his servants. One who was entrusted with five brought him 10,000 and said, "See, I've doubled your money." Commending this servant, the master said, "You've done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you've been faithful steward to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say, 'Come and celebrate with me.' Then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came and said, 'See, master, I've doubled what you've entrusted to me.' Commending his servant, the master replied, 'You've done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you were faithful to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, and who will say to you, "Come celebrate with me."' Then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 coins came to his master and said, 'Look, sir, I see that you're a hard man to please, and you're shrewd and ruthless businessman who grows rich on the backs of others. I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your money and buried it in the ground, but here it is, take it, it's yours.' Angered by what he heard, the master said to him, 'You untrustworthy and lazy servant, if you knew I was a shrewd and ruthless businessman who always made a profit, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? Then I would have received it back with all the interest which when I earned, when I returned. But because you were unfaithful, I will take away the 1,000 gold coins and give it to the one who has 10,000. For the one who has will more be given until he overflows with abundance. And the one who has hardly anything, even the little he has, will be taken from him.' Which shows you that God is not into socialism. Are you with me? God's not into taking blessings from people that have been blessed and given to the people that have nothing. Obviously, we bless to help those, but there's a right way of doing it. If you don't work, you won't eat. Are you with me? So that's why all of these people running on the platform to be nominated for the president of the United States, offering, what was it, $52 trillion worth of health care. Where's it coming from? From the private central bank that prints the money? And then who's going to have to pay for it? All the workers, all the taxpaying people have to pay the debt. That's how the system is set up. Somebody said, "Oh, I'm getting my health cares down." No, it's not. You'll be paying taxes on it. Are you smoking crack? What is wrong with you? There is nothing free, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing free. So all of these politicians that are promising everybody, "I'm going to give you $1,000 a month." What, $1,000 a month for slavery? Excuse me. Take your money and stick it where the sun don't shine. We don't want your money. I don't need your $1,000. That's pittance. God's got so much more for his people. Why would we settle for some idiot politician who doesn't know he's hit from a hole in the ground to come and promise, "I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that"? Well, you ain't give me squat. You ain't give me nothing. God's the one that gives me the ability to create wealth, to establish his covenant. And they go to these churches that tell you God don't want you blessed. That's not my fault, because I read the Bible. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So, the one with hardly anything, even what he has will be taken from him. Then the master said to his servants, "Now throw the good-for-nothing servant far away from me into outer darkness, and there'll be great misery and anguish." Which, the day is coming when we have to give an account of our life. And I don't want anybody that's a part of the river, you're a member here, to stand there on that day and you're embarrassed. So I'd rather tell you this, you can get mad with me now, but on that day you'll go, "Pastor, thank you that you told me, and I didn't show up here empty-handed. I've multiplied what God has given to me," even though along the way you were mocked, you were scoffed at, people said, "Who do you think you are?" And all of the attack and the persecution will come. Are you with me? But it doesn't really matter ultimately, because you're here to obey God. It doesn't matter what man says. We're here to obey God. I mean, if you think about it, I actually get attacked because of joy. So I could say to the Lord, I could say, "Great, Lord. That's just great. I could have been a normal preacher. But no, you had to give me joy to happen in the services. While I'm preaching, people start to laugh and they fall out and they crawl around the thing. And it just, that really closed some doors for me, Lord. Why couldn't I just been a normal preacher?" But I didn't ask God for joy. I just said, "Lord, come and move. come and touch your people. Then he came and started touching his people with joy. And then the other people got cranky because the other people were getting happy. When you're a cranky old prophet with wet underwear, you get mad when you come around and people have got joy. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Yeah. So, but that's okay to sing, just don't have it in the service. So we just did this vow of prosperity. Well, we know poverty is a curse, and we know that God wants to bless us to make us a blessing. And we have scriptural proof along these lines, Galatians 3 and verse 13 in the Passion Translation. Yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. Well, you have to go back to the curse of the law to see what the curse of the law was. Threefold: poverty, sickness, and death. He absorbed it completely. It became our curse in our place. For it's written, everyone who's hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. Why was he cursed? For you, so that you can be blessed. I'm blessed because of Jesus. Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed to, in our place, and in our so doing, dissolved the curse from our lives. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. I'm just going to dance a little jig here, right here. So that all the blessings of Abraham can be poured out on every non-Jewish believer. Well, you go to the Jewish people, even though many of them, they're not even saved, they believe God wants to bless them. It's only in the Christian church they don't believe God wants to bless them. Think about it. You're not going to go to a Jewish person and tell them God wants you poor. They'll laugh at you. And now God gives us the promise of the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us when we believe in him. And then verse 29. And since you've been united to Jesus, the Messiah, you are now Abraham's child and inherit all the promise of the kingdom realm. Oh, hallelujah. Got nothing to do with your bank balance. Got nothing to do with your bank account. I don't care if your bank account has 0000000. It doesn't matter. In him you live and move and have your being. Hallelujah. So what we've been unfolding to you this past kingdom business fellowship is the opportunity zones to revitalize the city of Tampa, where the president's agenda is to put $100 billion into the inner cities. Well, if that's going to happen, how many know that's going to transform America? Well, the church might as well be on the cutting edge of that. And so there's opportunities that are available for every single person here, people that want to start businesses, people that feel God's anointed them. You don't really know what you should be doing at this juncture. Well, you can go to the websites. You can see what your passion is and see what is available. And then we're going to help you put together the business proposals because they're coming back the first week of January. And we want to launch everything because I believe coming right out of this place is going to be a model right in America where people are going to say, if you want to see it work, go down to the River Tampa Bay Church. They've got the model working there, and it's working in the city of Tampa, the whole of Central Florida. I mean, we've got opportunity zones in Plant City, Lakeland, and even Orlando. So it doesn't matter where you live. This is not limited to the Tampa Bay area. That's just where we are. But if you're watching, you can all be a part of this. You might as well make it available to yourself. So don't miss the next Kingdom Business Fellowship on December the 3rd. And then there's another one coming up on the 17th of December, which is on the Tuesday, which is so important that you grab a hold of this, because then the launching that's going to take place the 5th, 6th, and 7th of January, I believe, is going to launch many businesses. And this is going to be the time where you put together your business plan and you put together the strategy and you write it down, and we'll help you. We'll do whatever we can to help you. We're not going to do the research for you. We're going to give you all the tools to research, right. But we'll help you once you get it and you find this is what I want to do, then we're going to help you do it. And if there's going to be any multimillionaires, they're going to be sitting right here in this place that God's going to raise up. And there's no age limit, neither on nationality or it's basically, if you feel God's calling you to do something, then you're going to do it. And even if you're a student here, you might as well learn it while you're here at school. Are you with me? You still have to work, so you might as well grab a hold of some of these things. There's no telling what God will do with you when you launch out of here. Now, Opportunities. You know what I've come to find out? That a lot of people miss an opportunity. Even in the ministry, I see, you know, people invite them to go to a place and then, well, they turned it down. The church wasn't big enough or whatever. The only reason I'm here today is because I never turned down anything. I went everywhere. I preached to anybody. It didn't matter. If there were 12 people in the place, I acted as though there were 10,000 people there. So much so that other people laughed at me because said, look at him, he's crazy. He thinks he's got a huge crowd. Well, they didn't see what I saw in the spirit. Are you with me? I went there and gave it my best. I never went there and hurried it up to quickly get out of here. There's not many people here. I went there and I gave them my best. I didn't leave anything on the table. I didn't even go to get invited back. I just went there and preached what God gave me. Can you say amen? So everybody say opportunities. So what is God doing for the River Church at this occasion? God is giving opportunities to you to come along to see if there's something that you can grab a hold of and God can use you that's going to transform our cities round about us. It's going to help the Hispanic community, the African-American community, the Asian community, whatever group that you're from, that God's going to bless you to make you a blessing. Are you with me? And all of this in conjunction with the Houses of Joy across the city. Wait, listen, people say, I'll tell you what, those river people come. They don't only come with a spiritual solution. They come with a natural solution. They come with healing. They come with provision. They come with blood. Somebody said, they have an answer for everything. Well, we do, and his name is Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1 in the Amplified. Cast your bread on the waters, for many days you'll find it. How many have been casting your bread for many years? It's time now for it to come back in bakery trucks. Are you with me? All right. Give a portion to seven. Yes, even divide it to eight, for you know not what evil may come upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falls, there will lie. Now, this verse 4 is very important. He who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So if you're waiting for all, somebody said, well, I'd like to do that, but I got to get all my ducks in a row and all that. No, you seize the opportunity now. I find many people that are paralyzed. Well, I just need to hear from the Lord. What do you need to hear from the Lord? What do you need? You need a handwriting in the sky? Would you want your dog to bark way down upon the Suwannee River at 2 o'clock in the morning? What are you looking for? What? Sorry, that was a bad dog. But what are you looking for? What are you looking for? You're looking for an opportunity. You know, and what I find, people, there's so many opportunities to even educate yourself along these things. Somebody said, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Who said that? You can teach an old dog as long as he wants to learn. Hello. I don't care which dog it is. We can turn that dog around. Don't come here and use that as a, I'm just like set in my ways. And just, yeah, you are. We're going to shake you out of your set ways. Hello. You know, some people are set like jelly. Other people are set like concrete. Listen, be pliable in the hands of God. Let God lead you. Let God open doors for you. Don't be so rigid. Don't be so rigid. The things you want to be rigid are on your doctrine and no compromising in that way. But other than that, just be open to what God's going to do. Amen. So everybody say opportunity. All right. So we got all night prayer meetings here. Of course, the first Friday of every month is all-night prayer meeting. Now, here's what I really want to do. This up-and-coming all-night prayer meeting, I want everybody to bring your business proposals and everything. I want you to come and pray over. We're going to pray over it for 12 hours in the Holy Ghost, in other tongues. So, you know, we're going to bathe this thing in prayer between now and the first week of January so that when it kicks off, and what starts off small will begin to multiply. But don't quit. Do not quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. But press in and watch what God's going to do. Amen. So, as you know not what is the way of the wind or how the Spirit comes to bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you know not the work of God, who does all. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hands, for you know not what shall prosper, whether this or that, whether both alike will be good. So that means every single day when we get up, we put our hand to the plow. I've got preachers saying to me, where are you running around? You're going to all these churches. Some of the places are so small and whatever. But they don't know what I'm doing. They think I'm crazy. But they don't know about compound interest. I mean, we had over 53,000 people already mobilized to win souls. Just quickly on your calculator, go 53,000 and multiply that by 365 days and see what that comes to. If just the 53,000 so far, what do you got? That's 19.3 million people saved every year. If the ones that have just been ignited are going to win souls every day. 19 points. That's better than a poke in the eye with a blunt stick on a cold day. That's just in 1 year. That's just in 1 year. So I'm going for compound interest. At the same rate, it's going to be over 110,000. There'll be over 40 million people a year coming to Jesus because we're lighting fires. We're going about it a different way. There's already strategy that God's giving us that we're going to start moving into for next year, that 2021 will be something totally different that you've never seen before. There's even, we're working on technology that we're going to be with the first ministry in the world to be using certain technology that nobody else is doing. We're working on that right now. It's going to blow people's minds. Somebody said, why? Because I'm not going to go back to what I was doing in the 90s. And you know, listen, we're reaching a different generation. And I'll just tell you right now, you just hold on to your horses. Not many people know about this, but I'm working on some stuff here that is going to be mind-blowing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, you know, I mean, somebody will try to copy it, but if you don't have the anointing, it's still not going to help. Technology without the anointing is still not going to help you. Amen. But you watch what's going to happen. This thing is big. The Lord did something for me this past July, because I was really pressing in. Because every 10 years he does something. I said, Lord, this July, it's 40 years since the fire fell on me. I needed to do something, and he did, man. I tell you, it's like I'm super energized, really. I'm like, feel the fire. I'm like on a roll. And you know what? The Lord really touched my wife too. Now, but that was just recently. You know, she's like on a delay, you know. But it started. She's so overwhelmed by it. And there's some things, like the ladies' conference for next year is going to be off the chain. Now I'm telling you right now. So that's going to be off the chain. And I would give her the mic, but I'm running out of time. So I just think, but the Lord's doing it. And the Lord touched Jessica this last thing. I mean, at the ministers' conference. So God's touching people, and he's expanding you. You know, he's expanding you on the inside because of what he wants to do through you. So I'm just very excited to tell you. I don't even know what to tell you. I'm very happy. I mean, we go from city to city. I tell the team, I say, I could do this every day till Jesus comes. I can do this every single day till Jesus comes. I love every minute of it. New people, new pastors, new churches. I don't care if it's in the middle of a cornfield. The fire of God's falling, I mean, and people are being ignited. And all it takes is one person, just one person. That one person can bring transformation to a whole city. Most of the people today, they want to go preach to the whole city of Samaria, but they forget the eunuch. You know, somebody said, what did the eunuch do? Get to heaven and pull out the volumes of what God did through his life, even though he never had any children. How many Ethiopians we have here? Yeah. Stand up. You are not a direct descendant of the eunuch. I can tell you that for a fact. For a fact, bro. But there's no telling what impact he had on Ethiopia, you know, which we'll find out on the other side. So you don't know which one's going to be. Put your hand to the plow. And that hand to the plow is on a Monday when you feel tired. On a Tuesday when you're going through traffic and everybody, you somehow you're stuck on the I-4 going through Orlando. Like you're praying for the rapture. Well, now the I-75 is not much better. I'm looking here, I thought, is this the 101 Ventura or what in the world is going on here? How many have noticed the traffic has like gone totally crazy? And I mean, if you're from the north, I love you, but drive. Please. I saw a bumper sticker said, when I get older, I'm going to move north and drive slowly. Please try. Please try. And then the moment it rains, everybody that can't drive, like people are pull over the side of the road. That's the most dangerous thing you can do is pull over and because you can't see the other car stopped ahead of you. Drive. It's only water. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I think we should put everybody through driving school one more time. Everybody say opportunities. Opportunities. So opportunities come around, and then what happens? People miss it. And then many times they live in regret. But here's the thing I know about the Holy Ghost. Outside of the Holy Ghost, for opportunities to come around again are remote. But with the Holy Ghost, they come around all the time. And they come around all the time, and you just have to make the decision. Can you say amen? Amen. We have been praying as a church. We have been sowing, and we've been believing. Now it is time to step into the flow. And I believe so much more is going to come out of this, because what happens is as you begin to explore opportunities, suddenly things open to you that you didn't even know were there. I mean, you look at the city of Tampa. Who owns those high-rise buildings? In many cases, heathens do. Shouldn't people in the church own that? Huh? Just saying. Hashtag, just saying. Shouldn't people in the church own those? Hashtag, asking for a friend. Now, here's the thing, and this is going to lead me to something that's very important. How many ladies here feel the anointing in this area for business? Wave your hand at me, all the ladies. Stand quickly. Stand, all the ladies. Now, all right, you can be seated. This is an army that is being unleashed. In actual fact, as I've traveled around, some of the most influential people behind the scenes in government are women. Because a politician is not going to turn a lady down. I've seen a woman call a senator over, go like this, with a finger. And the senator comes like a puppy dog. No, it's the most craziest thing out. So when I go into Washington, I take three crazy ladies with me. Because they can get anything done in Washington. They do this. Because what politician is going to turn a lady down? They ain't doing it. You know, it was Mary that pushed Jesus into the miracle. A mother can set the tone for the children that will impact in the biggest way imaginable. So this is going to take me to what I want us to look at today. Proverbs 31. And I want to talk to you about the virtuous woman. Amen. Amen. Listen, let me tell you, that's why God made you a woman. He didn't make you anything else. All these, Lord have mercy. I'm going to go there. Listen. The planet's gone nuts with all these men who want to be women. Now they come in and winning women's sporting events. You're not winning a woman's event. You're a man competing as a woman. That is not even right. You never see it in reverse. You never see the woman that want to be men going to compete in the men's events. Hello. So this is nonsense. I tell people this all the time. There's only two genders. One with spout, one without. That's it. Very easy. Baby comes out. Oh, it's got a spout. Oh, it's without. We've got the grand twins. They are little boy, little girl, born the same day. They are totally different. There is nothing in Jet. There is nothing female about him. And in Kennedy, there's nothing male. Now, Jet grabs her by the hair and uses her as a ballast. She's a strong toughy. You know, anyway, I won't get into that right now. But I mean, you, at 10 months old, it's very plain what they are. They know what they are. It's only in this society that everybody's confusing everybody. Now, I want to say this to all the ladies. You are what you are. God made you what you are. And you be the best lady that you can be. You be the most lady of any lady that there is a lady. And by the same token, for the men, if you're going to be a man, then be a man. Somebody said, well, you need to get in touch with your female side. That's why I touch my wife, so I can get in touch with my female side. That's my female side over there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I got to just say this. Men do not have periods. Now, I'm not saying that a man can't be difficult. I've got to say that. I'm not saying a man can't be difficult. All right. I'm glad my wife is a woman. I'm so happy that she's a woman. And there's never been a doubt of all the years of marriage. Well, I wondered. So there's a special anointing on a woman. I mean, you even think about it, to have babies. You were built for that. I was there with all three births. I thought about that. Lord have mercy. That's like the most amazing thing I ever saw. How in the world? I'm so happy she was meant to do that, not me. Oh, man. I think the enemy obviously is just trying to mess with everybody's identity. So everybody's questioning their identity. Don't question your identity. Somebody say, I'm going to be left out. No, you won't, because you're unique. Are you with me? So let's look at Proverbs 31 and verse 10 in the Passion Translation. So I love my wife, so I'm very passionate about her. That's why I'm going to read it. Who could ever find a wife like this one? She's a woman of strength and mighty valor. She's full of wealth and wisdom, which I'll just say this. It would help husbands if you did stop for a while and just listen to your wife. You're still the head of the house, but it's important to get. That's why I keep asking. I ask her, well, so what do you think? What are you feeling? And many times I want to know what the Lord's saying to her. Because we're not just operating in the natural. I mean, my wife knows, you know, this week we're in six cities. Next week, the following week, we're in the Middle East in an undisclosed location, which you'll find about the next week. So I wake up at 3 o'clock morning. She's busy on a computer. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm putting us on a boat. I said, for what? She said, because you're not going to rest when you come back home. So I'm just putting us on a boat for 10 days. You have no choice. You can't do anything. I go, yeah. Already booked, signed, sealed, and delivered. She did it. Stuck me in a boat. Now, for the singles here, don't just sit and look at me like, this will all help you and stand you in good stead for the future. And then for all the ladies here, this is talking about you and the full potential of what God has for your life. Don't let Hollywood sell you of what you're supposed to be. Don't let music stars and movie stars sell you of what they think you should be. Or these, what do you call them? These women's lib, huh? Feminazis. Don't let these people come along to tell you what you're supposed to be. And I'm not one to tell the woman to take a back seat. And I'm not one that doesn't believe that women are called to preach. They're women that God's using in a powerful way. You just have to go back over 100 years. You had Maria Woodsworth Edda. You had Amy Simon McPherson. She built over 5,000 churches. And you have Catherine Kuhlman. Those are ladies full of the power of God. They had more anointing than 1,000 Pentecostal preachers after 40-day fast. So, no, what I'm trying to tell you, because the Bible does say that in the Spirit there's neither male nor female. So you have to come from that. Somebody said, well, the Bible said let a woman be silent in the church. They don't even know what that means. That meant the way they separated the church, the men were on the one side, the woman on the other side, and during the service they would ask questions of the men, and that's why they said that the woman would be silent in the church. It wasn't so the woman could never get up, because he said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So what's prophesying? Huh? How can a daughter prophesy if she's supposed to be silent in the church? So people don't read this stuff in context. I believe the most powerful force in the church are ladies, are women. Are you with me? And God's going to use you as a woman. I thought the woman would be jumping up and down this morning. And this is not even Mother's Day. So the price paid for her was greater than many jewels. Her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the rich spoils of victory. So this is not a woman just sitting around drinking tea with a bunch of other women doing nothing. And talking about everybody, all their stuff. All throughout her life, she brings him what is good and not evil. She searches out continually to possess that which is pure and righteous. We're talking about the virtuous woman. She delights in the work of her hands. I'm just saying this. I believe that some of these millionaires are going to be ladies right here that God's going to raise up in this church. She gives out revelation truth to feed others. She's like a trading ship bringing divine supplies from the merchant. That means she's busy. One thing I learned from my mother, let me tell you, if you knew her, well, many of you knew her in older age, but if you knew her when she was younger, she's up before everybody and she went to sleep after everybody else. She was always busy. She was always working. She ran several businesses. I never heard her moan, complain, grumble, gripe. She was just always about, from whether it was getting things ready for the family and then running the companies that God had given her. She was just, I just really thank God for my mother's work ethic. And my dad was the same way. As you know, I don't have time for lazy people. Now watch this. Even in the night season, she arises and sets food on the table for the hungry ones in her house and for others. So she has that supernatural energy of heaven upon her life. She sets her heart upon a nation and takes it as her own, carrying it within her. So this is not some small stuff here. This is big stuff here. Amen. When you think about the influence over the children and that you could be handling the next president of a country, or one of your children could be one of the great men or women of God that went to a place and shook a place. And then the wife said, well, I'm just stuck here at home and you're out there. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, she's training the future nation shaker. Yeah, I mean, people don't realize that. People don't realize those things. She sets her heart on a nation, takes her own caring with her heart. She labors there to plant the living vines. She wraps herself in strength, might, and power in all her works. She tastes and experiences a better substance, and her shining light will not be extinguished, no matter how dark the night. In other words, that inner strength that comes from God in the middle of the storms to stand. I watched my mother when they said that she had cancer. She went on a 21-day fast, and then she comes from the other side totally clear. I mean, she wasn't going to let anything stop her in any way, shape, or fashion. Now, I'm talking about a fast. It was a water fast. 21 days she went on and come through the other side. Total victory. Always praying in the Holy Ghost. She stretches out her hands to help the needy, and she lays hold of the wheels of government. I like that thing. That's what we're talking about here. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, just so you know, my wife is not paying me to say this. The Lord told me to stir people up concerning this. Because I realize that there's a lot of ladies that are going to be launched in business here. And you say, well, ma'am, I'm a single woman. The Lord's with you. The Lord is with you. You don't have to wait to get married to do it. You can start doing it now. Are you with me? She is known by her extravagant generosity to the poor. Now, this is not even talking about the husband. This is just talking about the wife. She is known by her extravagant generosity to the poor, for she always reaches out to her hands to those in need. She's not afraid of tribulation, for all her household is covered in dual garments of righteousness and grace. Her clothing is beautifully knit together, a purple gown of exquisite linen. Her husband is famous and admired by all, sitting as the venerable judge of his people. Even her works of righteousness she does for the benefit of her enemies. Which, that's another dimension of grace upon a woman in that way. Because you always see these Hollywood movies of a family done badly by, and the wife goes and trains for 3 months and gets well equipped with knives and guns and whatever. And then she goes and hunts them down and kills every one of them. You know. So you always see that. Anybody seen any Hollywood movies? And a lot of this stuff is just like so far-fetched, you know, because, anyway, running on the top of a train, moving along, diving through the air, shooting guns sideways, in real life it doesn't even work. The blunt force trauma would kill you alone. You know what I mean? Blunt force trauma would kill you alone. You hit something at 100 miles an hour, you're dead. Whether something hit you or not, just the force alone will kill you. Both power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her as she laughs with joy over the latter days. Laughs. Ha, ha, ha. Which is right up my alley. Her teachings are filled with wisdom and kindness. As loving instruction pours from her lips, she watches over the ways of her household and meets every need they have. Her sons and daughters arise in one accord and extol her virtues, and her husband arises to speak of her in glowing terms. There are many valiant and noble ones, but you've ascended above them all. Charm can be misleading, and beauty is vain, and quickly fades. If you look at the picture from your teenage years and then in the latter years. You know. But there's still the beauty, still there, but it does fade. But the virtuous woman lives in the wonder, the awe, and the fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. So go ahead and give her the credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired as at the gateway of every city. So this is important that you realize you take your place. And I want to say this to the husbands here. Don't be afraid if your wife's feeling something, I want to do something. Didn't let it. Well, what if she doesn't? Look, you can sit here and look at every negative and operate out of fear or by the anointing. Remember, many people have come around this church over 3, 4, 5, 6 years. They change it. So you say, well, I know her. We've been married 20, 30 years. Yeah, but that's what you knew back then. But God's doing a work in the life of your husband, of your wife, and bring about. You got to change the way. You can't see yourself the way you were 20, 30 years ago. I have people that knew me 40 years ago. They think they know me. They don't know me. They know an illusion of what I was. I am so different from the person I was 40 years ago. Are you kidding me? But no, I'm stuck in their mind. That's the way I am. I ain't. I'm still me. The resemblance is the same. But I am a totally different person. Why? Because the Lord, when God works on you for 40 years, everything changes. Are you with me? And it's the same with your family. It's the same with your wife. It's the same with your husband. Stop seeing each other the way that you have been because I know them well. No, you don't know anything. And especially you don't know what God's doing. And don't stop the Lord from having his way in your spouse that's going to unlock another hole. Realm in your life. Are you with me? Amen. Fear will cause that to happen. Fear will cause. A husband and wife are not there to compete with each other. They're there to complete one another. The only difference between the word compete and the word complete is the letter L, which is love. So when you don't have love, then you compete. When you have love, you complete. Are you with me? And I pray for every married couple today that your marriage will be stronger than ever before. Now, let me begin to close with this. It's time to take territory. When God spoke to Joshua, you couldn't get more formidable enemy when they had to take Jericho and everything. But God said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And he said to him, every place in which the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given unto you. And I believe God's going to anoint every single person here. There's going to be ladies here that'll buy properties and sell properties and all kinds of things that are going to take place. And some of the stuff might not crunch on paper with numbers and that, but don't be afraid. Listen to what the Lord's telling you to do. Listen to what God's telling you to do and rise up in boldness. Every place in which the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given it to you. As I was with Moses, as I promised Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great Mediterranean Sea on the west shall be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Come on. Hallelujah. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, be confident and good courage. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to your fathers to give you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So be strong, be bold. It's time now. No fear. No fear. No fear. No fear. The Lord is with you. No fear. The opportunity is here. It's time to seize the moment. It's time to rise up. And whatever you don't know, you can ask God for wisdom. God will show you exactly what to do. But how many, let me just ask this for the ladies here. How many ladies are you feeling something that's much bigger than you? You feel it on the inside of you. Wave your hand at me. Just stand right there. I'm going to pray over you right now. And some of these things might not add up on paper. Some of these things might not even make sense. But you have to trust the Lord and trust the Holy Ghost. Two women were used by the devil to wreak havoc in America in the last 70 years or 80 years. Margaret Sanger, that started Planned Parenthood, that's killed 60 million people now. And one woman that took prayer out of schools. If two women could wreak havoc, if two women full of the devil can wreak havoc, what can two women full of the Holy Ghost do? So just lift those hands. Father, thank you for the Proverbs 31 amplified, passionate version. I pray supernatural blessing upon every one of these ladies. Even when it comes in the area of the business realm and this special anointing upon them to take that which you put in their hands and to multiply it and to increase it, that Lord, even out of this 300 multimillionaires that you're raising up, many will come from among their ranks. And I thank you. Make them a sign and a wonder. Speak to them even in the night hours, Lord, and show them exactly what you want them to do. And thank you for supernatural grace upon them. And may there be a blessing to many, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, lift our hands and thank Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, we've got some blessed ladies here, that's for sure. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want everybody to bow your heads, if you would, please. Everything begins with the heart. And I'm going to ask only the workers to move, please, at this time. Everything begins with the heart. I want you to look into your heart today, and those watching in your homes, wherever you might be. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, you've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior, then I want to give you an opportunity right now to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to make Him Lord of your life. There's many in the church world, Sunday morning, that's the time they give God, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the time they give everything else. But when you make Him Lord of your life and you give Him every area, everything changes. In your rising up, you're lying down, you're coming in, you're going out. Everything changes. And God begins to lead you and guide you. Your Mondays, your Tuesdays, your Wednesdays, your Thursdays, your Fridays, your Saturdays, they'll be supernatural. Your life will not be compartmentalized. Well, that's church and this is life. No, it'll all mesh together. It'll all flow together. It's about surrender to give Him every area of your life. Our life is not our own. I actually cannot just do whatever I want to do. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You can do whatever you want. I can't. Because I prayed a long time ago and said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. So if I prayed that way, then how in the world can I do whatever I want to do? I can't. I cannot. When Adonik and I were married 38 years ago and we made a decision, God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Revival, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. There's no option. There's no option. Somebody said, well, you could just make a decision. I could, but I know the consequences involved are horrendous. Why? I'm not that stupid that I'm going to make a decision that's going to just go change everything. Somebody said, yeah, but what if I've already made a mistake? Then today you can repent and say, God, I'm turning around, and from this day, my whole life's going to be different. From this day. From this day. History's not going to keep repeating itself. From this day, I'm cutting off the past. This pattern that just keeps coming around, back, always around, from failure to failure. God's going to take you from glory unto glory. It's about surrender. And if you're in this room here today, you're watching in your homes, and you've never given your life to Jesus, you never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior, but today you want to do that. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you're here today and you have never prayed that prayer. What would happen if you went home, put your head on your pillow, and tonight you breathed out your last breath? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? Today's your day to surrender and say, Lord, I surrender and give my life to you. Would you do that today? Would you say, Lord, come and be my Savior? Jesus, take full control. Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but you allowed the things of the world to come in. You lost your peace, your first love, your joy. But today he wants to come and restore that to you. He wants to bring back to you the joy of your salvation. Will you let him do that? Maybe it's something hidden that no one could see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today you say, I want free. I want to be free. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this by the grace of God and by the mercy of God. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And the enemy uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like, well, what's the use anyway? They already know. I'm a big mess anyway. Well, listen, God can take your life and transform it that the next 3 years, you won't even be recognizable. The change takes place from within, and then it manifests without. It's about surrender to say, Lord, yes. God's a God of a second chance and a new beginning. Today, he will do that if you let him. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along. You were doing great. And then out of the blue, this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. Things that happened in your life that 10 years ago you would never have even considered, but it took place. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Would you let him do it today? Would you say, Jesus, come? And then lastly, if you're in this place and you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation, the devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to make sure. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm a child of God. If this is you, right where you are, if you fit into any one of these categories, I will pray with you and for you. Quickly, put your hand up. Say, pray for me right now. God bless you over there. Raise up high. God bless you over here. Under the overhang, God bless you. Hands are going up. Back over there. Hand over here. Hand over there. Hand over here. Come on. Slip your hand up right now on this side. Hands are going up. Come on, today's your day. Today's your day of freedom. Under the overhang on this side, today's your day. I want everybody with your hand in the air. I want everybody to look at me, please. If you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray right now, quickly put your hand up with the rest of them. I want all those with your hand in the air to stand now. Stand to your feet. Stand. Stand across the building. Stand. Stand. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Today's your day of freedom. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you'll come from where you are and come stand around the altar, we're going to pray. One little guy made it down here all by himself already. Come. 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 Just come right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of freedom and liberty. Come. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you. Come. He calls you. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I tell you, you better get ready for this, what's about to happen in the new year. Man, this thing's big. 2020. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Good to see you guys. Amen. Praying for you. Praying for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want everybody standing here to look at me. We're going to pray one prayer. One prayer fits all. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Whether this is your first time or you come to recommit your life or you come to make sure. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven and pray this together with me. Say this with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord. And my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in the heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now just lift both hands right now. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them for your kingdom and for the remainder of their days. And I pray this even now. I break every curse. I send it back to where it came from. I break every bondage, every hindrance, every addiction that's held them back is broken now by the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gracias. Gracias. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.